To the word of God is a mystery. To his sons, a revelation. For he has made us a kingdom and priests to reign on the earth forever. Join us as we expose you to this revelation through God's servant, Apostle Joshua Selman,
from Eternity Network International,
replicating the fullness of God's life on earth.
An effect of his presence, and he says there is liberty. Hallelujah. So that in his presence you don't go back with the same mindset, not with the same infirmity, not with the same oppression. Hallelujah. But you must insist through your expectation and your prayer and say, Lord, I'm not going back the same way. If you go back with your situation, it does not stop God from being God. Hallelujah. But it will stop you from looking like God. Hallelujah. So in 1 minute, I'd like you to pray. Say, Lord, I came tonight for change. I came for change. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we trust you to change us. Change us, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, for without faith, Hebrews 11, verse 6. It is impossible to please him. Says, for he that comes unto God must believe that he is, that he exists, first and foremost. So you must come here tonight believing that he is alive, that he exists. And then secondly, that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Lift up your hands and worship him. Inside and outside, just lift your hands. Give you praise. Much less one. Give you praise. How great you are. 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 Lift your hands and worship him. How great you are.
How great you are. How great you are.
How great you are.
Sing it from the depths of your heart.
How great you are.
How great you are.
One another, and let's be seated. First Timothy 4 verse 15. It's always a privilege to bring the Word of God. Always a privilege. Hallelujah. It's always a privilege. When the Word of God comes, there are exact things that it is able to do in the life of those who hear, believe, receive, and act on it. Take note. That the Word of God comes to you doesn't mean that it will change you. Hallelujah. You must hear it. You must believe that it is true. You must receive of the instructions that come with the Word. And you must be diligent to apply it. If you do this, no power in existence will stop the Word of God from finding expression. Oftentimes, the challenge is that believers just hear. And they believe that because they have heard, it should work. And then they keep wondering, why is the Word of God not producing the kind of results that should be produced? It must be heard. It must be believed. It must be believed. When you hear the Word of God and argue with the truth that is being taught, you do that at your own detriment. Hallelujah. The presence of God is not where we argue with the Word of God. You see, the Word of God comes to challenge our mindset. The Word of God comes to challenge our ideologies. It comes to shake our convictions. So that any other conviction we have that is not consistent with the Word of God should be allowed to give way. And this is very difficult. Very, very difficult, because oftentimes we have built our entire lives on our ideologies. Could be cultural, it could be territorial, it could be intellectual, it could be as a result of our failures of the past or our experiences, and all of these have become strongholds. So when the Word of God comes, it doesn't come to meet an empty mind. It meets a mind with informations already. But then it comes to challenge what you already have. Hallelujah. And you have a role to play. You can choose to prefer what you already hold on to above the Word of God. And the Word of God will return back quietly because it was rejected. Hallelujah. The Bible says, "Doth not wisdom cry?" But if you receive it, it is able to replace that which you have. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh, he said, so is he. In other words, your life is a reflection of your convictions.
Your life is a reflection of your ideology. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 4, verse 15. Let's read together. One, two, read. It says, meditate upon these things. Alright? Give thyself, not half-hearted, give yourself wholly to them. Why? It says, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Can we look at Amplified to see if there's something different? It says, meditate upon these things. What things? The truths that you have heard, the truths that you have been receiving. Meditate, become obsessed, let them occupy your mind. Your life moves in the direction of your most dominant thought. And so it says, let them become priority in your mind. It says, give yourself to them. Give yourself to them. Hallelujah. That thy profiting will appear unto all. Say, my profiting will appear unto all. Say it again, my profiting will appear unto all. Listen, this faith walk is not just supposed to stop the reality of what you claim to believe and what you represent should speak at a point in your life. Are you following me now? It should not just be locked up in the realm of the spirit, but that one day it will become apparent, it will become evident unto all. I am serving a living God. His name is Jesus Christ. He died and rose and gave me victory. I have victory. Can we sing it with conviction? I'm serving a living God. A living God. His name. He died and rose. Life and your life, the victory that we claim we have should become evident to all. Hallelujah. It should become clear to everyone that we are truly serving a living God. We sing it as choruses. Can I tell you why so many believers do not see the grace of God at work in their lives? The reason is because our convictions are not strong. We have not given priority to the things of the Spirit. We may be born again. We may even be filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, it's one thing to be filled with the Holy Ghost, but it's another thing to submit to the influence of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Meditate on these things. The apostle said, I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things. Although ye already know them and are established in this present truth. In other words, once and again, the Holy Ghost will keep reminding us. It's not enough to keep learning and knowing new things. The Bible says, ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge, the comprehension. There's nothing as frustrating as claiming to know many things, and yet it does not translate into victory in your life. Hallelujah. It can be frustrating because a time will come your knowledge. Listen, let me tell you, your knowledge only becomes useful when it is backed up with proofs. Are you getting my point? Results strengthen your words. They make people believe what you are saying. When you keep speaking, and after seasons and seasons of your life, there is no proof of the efficacy of the word. Your word will not be highly esteemed in the ears of those who listen to you. In the years to come, by the grace of God, we will still be teaching the same thing, but it will be more powerful than it is now, because there will be greater results backing the same word we are saying. See that? Years ago, we said some of these things, maybe not to this degree, but it was the same conviction. It didn't look as strong as it is now, because the evidences were not much. And over the years, there have been more evidence. And after 10 or 20 years, the evidences will be so much. They said, this is a notable miracle. We cannot deny it. Hallelujah. May your life become a testimony that Jesus is alive. May your life become a testimony that when people stay with the Holy Ghost, He can make wonders out of their life. May your life answer the question that people are asking you. You don't need to respond. Just walk with the Holy Ghost and your life will write the answer. Hallelujah. So pay attention. Pay attention to the Word of God. Pay attention. Hallelujah. The preacher said, my son, pay attention to my word. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Guard them like a treasure. Says they are life, not to Christians, but to those who find them and help their flesh. I believe the word of God. I believe that He was not joking when He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes in me, the works that I do, he shall also do, and greater works. When He said that, I believed Him. When He called me the head and not the tail, I believed it. Lord, let us believe in you. Cause us to believe in you. Let your convictions about God be very strong. Your conviction about God is a product of your revelation of Him. It's a resultant effect. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Tonight I trust God that we'll pray. I'm not so much teaching tonight. What I'm going to be doing tonight is what we call an admonition, an encouragement, a bracing up, a reminder, a recapping, a re-strengthening. Hallelujah. Because I don't want to just keep bringing so many revelations after revelations after revelations, and then we do not see these things work in our lives. I trust God, and I pray this all the time, that the word of God will prevail in our lives. Be it unto me according to your word. That's what Mary said. According to your promise, I can stand secure. Carve upon my heart the truth that sets me free. According to your word, O Lord, be it unto me. Unto me according to your word, according to your promises, I can stand secure. Would you carve upon my heart the truth that sets me free? According to your word, O Lord, be it unto me. This book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth, It says, but thou shalt meditate therein, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, that thou mayest observe to do, not to wish, not to sing, not to chorus, not to argue, to do all that is written therein. And it says, if you do it, you will make your ways prosperous and you will have good success. I believe this word. I believe it has the ability to change my life. I believe it is powerless if I ignore it. I believe it is powerless if I refuse to act upon the truths that are there. I believe it is powerless if I refuse to believe and pay attention to it. But if I pay attention to it, it will change my life. Hallelujah.
Only you are holy. Only you are worthy. Only you are wonderful. For there's no
wonderful.
Only you are wonderful. For there's no one else like you, who is faithful and virtue.
Is a testimony.
He's a testimony.
That's what is making your life become a testament.
He's a testimony.
Can you sing it one more time?
He's a testimony. He's a testimony.
If you pay attention to this fruit that you are receiving, that will be your song.
He's a testimony.
That if you take the principles of the Word of God and you make up your mind, listen, agreed that before now you didn't have access to truth, agreed that you were born poor, agreed that you were born under yokes and curses and all forms of idolatry, agreed that you were born under irresponsible parents, agreed that you did not have the opportunity to get these fruits on time, agreed that you made a lot of mistakes and blunders in the past, agreed. You may not be able to do anything about yesterday, but the Holy Spirit is still saying, if you pay attention, you can still catch up. Hallelujah. You may not be able to do anything about yesterday. Some of us have made blunders out of our lives. Some of us have wasted opportunities. Some of us have allowed the devil to take advantage of a lot of things. Forget about that. See all your pain of yesterday as the school fees you have paid for ignorance. But from today, it is absolutely within your power to make up your mind and predict your future. And the greatest way to predict your future is to create it. The word of God is powerful. But you will never understand the power that is in the word until you understand how it makes people powerful. The word of God does not make people powerful just by default. No. No. Hallelujah. Come, promise. Let me show you three things that the word of God does. It's an admonition tonight. Please pay attention. Let's call this guy a drunkard, a smoker, poor, broke, on his way to hell. It's just an example. Irresponsible. Call him anything. Womanizer, whatever. Just name it. Watch this. This brother is the way he is. Listen to me. Because there is an ideology. Are you getting what I'm saying? There is a mindset that was enshrined in him, either as a result of his past, as a result of his background, as a result of the influences around his life. So he grew up with certain convictions, and based on what he knew to be greatness, he grew up seeing other people smoking and drinking and sleeping around, and they felt like big boys, and he was attracted to their proposal of what they call greatness, and he permitted it to become part of his mindset. Are you getting what I'm saying now? He never, as he is right now from the example I'm giving you, he doesn't know, this gentleman, he doesn't know that there are laws in this kingdom. He does not know that life can be predictable. He does not know that it is up to him and the Holy Ghost to best the quality of his life. He's waiting for Mother Nature. He's waiting for situations. Wondering why nothing seems to work. And then, listen. Jesus Christ. The word of God comes. Watch this. When the word of God comes, the first thing the word of God does is to reveal to him the inferiority of his current position. Because you will never change until you are dissatisfied with where you are. Why should I change if I'm okay with where I am? Are you getting what I'm saying? So the Holy Ghost opens you up to a new horizon through the word. And you see that life can be lived at another level. That there can be a level of excellence beyond that which you have seen. And so this brother sits under an anointing like this and listens to the word of God, and the word of God begins to challenge him. At first he will resist the word, because the word of God will make him take responsibility for his current position. And we hate taking responsibility. That's why we love passing blames to demons. Is that true? We love passing blames to spirit entities and say they are the reason. And now this brother is finding out that there can be a quality of life. And by the way, when he is alone after drinking and smoking and living life at a lower level, the truth is that in his secret place there is a cry. Are you getting my point? He wants a life higher and greater. I've spoken to all kinds of people, cultists, smokers, and the rest. There is none of them that likes their current state. It's just that they have become slaves to strongholds and ideologies. And the word of God comes. The word of God comes. And after the first message, this gentleman goes back with two ideologies. The one he already has that says you can go back, join those friends, live your life, say it does not matter, allow anything and hope that one day things will get better. Or take responsibility and realize that the word of God can frame a new life. And when he returns and sits sufficiently under the word of God, something begins to change. Hallelujah. He permits this mind to be in him that was in Christ Jesus. All of a sudden, the grace to adopt the new mindset that is consistent with the laws of the kingdom. This gentleman now knows that it's not like God chose to make others rich and leave others poor. That's what mommy told him. That's what daddy told him. Very innocent, but it's not true. Now he knows that, wow, I can partner with the Holy Spirit and there is an economic system to this kingdom. Hallelujah. Then he now knows that being a father is not all about getting a woman pregnant and having children. You must be ready to take responsibility because you are building another future. And he's receiving this and it's changing. And while it is changing, his friends begin to notice that he's dissatisfied with the mindset he used to advocate. Are you getting my point? As a result, they will become envoys of the lower mindset and they will try to lure him back to where he's trying to live, using scornings, criticisms, and all of that. They say, we give you 2 weeks, all this church thing you are doing, you will come back. And then they find out that he never returns. Brothers and sisters, in 3 or 4 years, this same guy will come back. This is him transformed now. He's understood that Christianity is not all about going to church and just singing hymns and worship and choruses. That it is a school. It's a programming. It proposes a new mindset. The same mindset that makes heaven the way it is. And when he receives it, he will now return and meet those guys still there. By that time, the other brother is already 33 or 35. Are you getting my point? His eyes already stained with drinking for years, his mouth, everything, his life, his liver is almost dying. And this brother comes, changed. Everything around him is changed. You can choose to remain where you are. You can choose to keep coming for koinonia and enjoy the euphoria of participating in an apostolic activity that God is doing in a territory. You can choose. Or you can make up your mind and say, Lord, every time I come to your presence, I realize that there are 2 mindsets that war in me. And when I come, I am ready to let my old ideologies die. It was because I believed them. Look at the way they made my life. I believed that sickness was the will of God, a mindset. I believed that my genotype would never change. I believe that I can just die any day, anyhow. It's like that. It happens. If it comes, give glory to God. But when the word of God comes, it begins to propose to you a new ideology. It tells you life can be lived at another level. Whereas you were depending on everybody. You've heard of all those kinds of things. And you are always hoping that people become successful. And then when they come, say, bros, anything. That's a mindset. And all of a sudden, the word of God calls you into a place where you realize that indeed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And your mindset changes. Lay your hands upon your head and pray in 1 minute and say, I allow my mindset to change. Go ahead, pray.
Before your presence came and changed me.
Pray. Shikata baba baba baba. Lay your hands upon your head and pray. And say, Lord, this mindset must change. It must change. I receive the mindset because I grew up in poverty, because I grew up in idol worship. But right now, it must change. It must change. I received the mindset as a result of my denomination, but it must change. My mindset about finances must change. My mindset about my life must change. My mindset about the Holy Ghost must change. My mindset about the body of Christ must change. My mindset about my future must change. My mindset about my academics must change. My mindset about marriage must change. My mindset about purity and holiness must change. My mindset about long life, it must change. I insist, it must change. I insist, it must change. I insist, it must change. Hallelujah. Listen. Listen. All that needs to change in your life is your mindset. The Bible says they limited God in the wilderness. A man can limit God. A man can limit God. Please bring this for me. Bring both of them in. If this is your mindset, watch this. If this is your mindset, this is all your ideology, and point. This is all you can receive of God, because that's all your mindset has allowed. Whereas there is so much. So based on your mindset, this is all of God. Whereas there is still a lot more. Are you getting my point? If you will allow your mindset to expand, the Bible says, and when there was no more vessel, the oil stopped flowing. When the woman sat around and she said, this is all I have, God said, Todd, this is the limit to which I can bless you. If you brought more vessels, it would have continued. He says, go and borrow vessels, borrow not a few. And when she got to the limit of how much she believed, God said, well, if you give God a spoon, He will fill it. If you give Him a teacup, He will fill it. If you give Him a gallon, He will fill it. If you give Him a jerry can, He will fill it. If you give Him a drum, He will fill it. If you give God your space to work in your mindset as regards success and your academics, He will help you there, but you will never see His hand in another area. If you give God opportunity to influence your ideologies as regards divine healing, He will stop there. You will excel as far as your health is concerned, but you will fail in other areas, because they are keys. And I will give you not a key, the keys. Keys open different doors. So that you are excelling in one aspect of your Christian life should not make you complacent. There are other areas. The Bible says, Genesis 24 verse 1, and Abraham was old and well stricken, and God had blessed him in all things. The Bible talks about a man called Naaman, the captain of the Syrian army. Hallelujah. When you read from 2 Kings, I think chapter 5. It talks about Naaman, the captain of the Syrian army. He said he was a great man. He understood the principles of war. But as far as living in divine health was concerned, there was an issue there. Thank God for the areas you have gotten. Turn right now and focus on the areas where the word of God. This is how, listen, when I check areas of darkness in my life, I attack it like I attack the devil. Hallelujah. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind. Thank God for what I now know, but there is more. And I contend to bring light in every area of my life. And then at that point, there will be nothing short of beauty and glory from your life. The first question God is asking you tonight is, how much of the light of God have you allowed? Some of us have mastered the laws of God as far as living in divine health is concerned. But some of us have refused to master the kingdom principles that bring wealth and prosperity. You are just not interested. Some of us have mastered prosperity, but we've not mastered longevity. you must be able to come to a point. It's a school. The same way you take several courses. You can't just take one. And the word of God will pass you through a system of renewal, and you will come out brand new. And then everything around your life will begin to relate to you at the higher level that your mindset has adjusted to. You don't need to change people, you just need to change, and everything around you will also change. Sometimes we believe when we change everybody around us, then we will change. Not so. Not so. Hallelujah. Yes. So you must allow the mind of God to change you. If I ask you today, and I say, Ken, can you come and hold the mic and share with the house? Share with us in 5 minutes. What are the kingdom principles you have learned as far as living in divine health is concerned? You have been attending Koinonia for a while. Come and share with the house. If you cannot share with the house, that means something is wrong. Is that true? If I call this lady, come. I won't, don't worry, don't. Come. I won't embarrass you. I'm not 90 years old, I'm a young man. Praise God. If I call this lady now and I say, sweetheart, in 5 minutes, talk to the sister about the 2 or 3 major keys you think will make them virtuous women. I don't expect you to stand and say, hallelujah. Hallelujah, oh. No. That means whatever you cannot teach, you do not understand it. You may be aware. That's how many of us read. And you find out that when you are in the exam hall, you say, I know it, but it can't come out because it's still in the realm of awareness. You see that? There are 3 levels of understanding, or 3 levels of gaining knowledge. The first is awareness. The second is understanding. The third is mastery. If you study like that, you will do well. Many of us read, and you know that what you've read is there, scattered like a software somewhere in your head. And then when you see the questions, you know, you are saying, ah, bros, is it not what we reverse? It's not the issue. It can't come out. Because it has not entered the second phase, understanding. You see that? And the best of the best of the best in the kingdom are not just those who have understood, but they have mastered what they understand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Say, I refuse to be a failure. Say it, I refuse to be a failure. It's not just by willpower, it's by subscribing to the terms of the Word of God. You must honor this word. I don't just want to say word. You know, we keep saying, get the word. But the truth is, for years, I didn't understand what people were saying. I didn't understand what they were calling that word. What is it? Is it the verse? Because they say, get the word. And I was wondering, what is this? Bible is plenty. So what is the word? Everything. I know people who know it off heart. And it has not changed their lives. Whenever you hear me say the word of God, I mean the accurate revelation of the principles of the kingdom. That's what I call the word of God. Not these vague things. People just say, get the word, to mean just read scriptures. No. The accurate, revealed word. The Bible says, when he broke the bread, not when he held the bread. When he held it, they were still blind. But when the bread was broken, their eyes were open. Until the bread is broken, it cannot bless you. It was when he broke the bread and gave thanks that he began to multiply, to produce in their lives. Hallelujah. Throughout this year, so far, this is the 9th month by the grace of God. And by God's grace, I have taught on several things. My goal for the year, when I was having my retreat for the year, I told the Lord to grant me an opportunity to minimize my travels, especially on Fridays. so that I will be around and available. I was talking to someone and I was telling him, if God gives you a work and you later leave that work because of international ministry, you are traveling around blessing the whole world and you forget about your core assignment, you are still a failure. Have you seen some parents who allow their wives and children, they can donate 1 million during a fundraising? Have you seen that kind of thing? And yet they've not even paid the school fees of their children. No. Responsibility is to focus. Don't say, my bad, I'm not asking you to point people. Praise the Lord. So my focus, my goal, because the Lord told us that this is a year of light and dominion. Dominion that comes as a resultant effect of illumination. It's not just I'm walking in dominion. No. Hallelujah. It's not just I'm walking in dominion. It's that there is an understanding. And I hope that we are learning something. Look, some of you who are pastors here, or many of us that God will trust with ministries, don't deceive God's people. Don't stand on stage and waste their time telling the amount of the shoe you bought or this and that. Wonderful. You can bring in little jokes here and there, but you must make sure the same way a student is taught in school is the same way a Christian becomes an ambassador. Are you getting my point? No matter how complicated my teachings are, if you don't understand it to act upon it, I have not edified you. Hallelujah. That's why we try to make the word of God as simple as possible. So that my goal is not to say, wow, this is a man of God, Joshua Selman has revelation. My goal is that you understand the principles. How many of you have seen some lecturers that are very intelligent but they can't teach? Have you seen people like that? You know they are exceptionally intelligent. But when they enter the class, you almost have headache because you know you are in for it. They are intelligent, but they cannot explain their conviction to the understanding of the students. And you find students failing their course. Not because the students are dull, but the capacity to transfer that knowledge to the students. But there are other lecturers, when you see them, you are excited because they know how to make you understand their convictions. They can use stories, they can use jokes. Preachers, pastors, listen to me. Teach your congregation. Don't wow them with revelations. Teach them. Make them come into a comprehension. There are very little children here. There are old people here. There are young people here. When Jesus taught, although his teachings were hard, they were not hard because they were hard because the power for the position it puts the people and the change they would need to make as a result of that teaching was very difficult. Not because the teachings were so hard in that they could not be understood. He used parables. He used a lot of things. Hallelujah. Are you understanding the word of God? Are you understanding it? I've taught, I think, for years now, there are very few aspects of the kingdom life by the grace of God that I have not touched. We've touched on marriage. We've taught on finances. We've taught on leadership. We've taught on success. We've taught on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We've taught on demonology and deliverance. Different aspects of the kingdom life. Why? Because God wants to equip us. Not just that you are prosperous and that you do not know how to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Not just that you are sitting concentrating on demons and you do not know that there is an agenda to be fulfilled. Not just that you are praying in tongues and you are not relevant to your corporate world. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are many people who pray in tongues, but you employ them, they will waste your money and waste your time and drown your work. But they are Christians. When it is 12 o'clock in your place of work and you say lead prayers, you will feel like you should just keep praying till evening. But when it comes to principles that bring productivity, they do not know, they don't care. And that faulty mindset comes from we preachers. That faulty mindset comes from the preachers. Hallelujah. We take our limitations and transfer it to the people. So if I am serious about praying in tongues and walking with the Holy Ghost, but I have not been concerned about leadership, I teach the congregation that it's not necessary. Is that not true? I just tell them, focus on the Holy Ghost and your life will change. And so you will see an amazing church with the power of God, but there's no excellence. There's no excellence. You see that? Then there are people who is all about leadership and corporate governance and how to do it and principles of church governance and church accounting. Wonderful. But when it comes to the ministry of the Holy Ghost, they kick it out. Everything is intellectual. So you have an excellent church and they run the church like a CEO running his conglomerate. But the Holy Ghost is not there. They are too organized. God cannot find expression, not for 5 minutes. If this guy is supposed to sing for 5 minutes, and for any reason, God just feels like extending his grace and his power upon the people, is in trouble. No matter where they are, they must come down for the service to continue. Hallelujah. Then there are people who are not serious. They won't go for work on Monday, Tuesday. They won't apply for work. They'll say, I know my God is faithful. I can get jobs without application because of one or two testimonies that have come. Hallelujah. And they sit down at home. The children are getting sick. The wife is getting angry. There is no testimony of the grace of God there. Monday they are in church, Tuesday they are in church, Wednesday they are in church, and I mean from morning to evening. Thursday they are in church, Friday they are in church, Saturday they are in church, and the wife has one small shop that the man is eating everything there because he has not been taught that if you delay gratification, it can bless you, and they don't care. So although they are praying, they are fasting, but they are not rightly dividing the word. And so as a result, there are dimensions of God they will not experience. Every time they go to church, they will fall down. I guarantee you. They will see visions. They will prophesy to you. But they will not be relevant to the corporate world. Therefore, we must be built. Remember the teaching, the full gospel. We must be built holistically. And this is what, by the grace of God. Not everybody. See, there are preachers. The way they preach, if you don't plan to be a preacher, their ministry is useless to you. Are you getting my point? And it's not accurate. Because you now turn a CEO to become a man of God. And he finds out that he's struggling. And you say is that he's not spiritual enough. Whereas you are bringing him out of his grace into something else. So in many churches, the hallmark of spirituality is when you become a pastor. So CEOs, leaders, bankers, all ambition times when they will become pastors. Ladies look forward to the pastors. A brother comes, they say, who are you? He said, well, I'm a brother, I want to pass. He said, please go away. I'm not preparing my life for any kind of anyhow person. Because a mindset has been given that if you are excellent and the preacher approves of you, he will stamp you by making you a pastor. But the kingdom is not like that. Our concept of the gospel, it's not just going to tell somebody Jesus is coming, which is an important component of the gospel. But it says, go ye into all cosmos. 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 I've said it again, that the gospel is not just a message. The gospel is an ideology that seeks to enthrone Christ and his value system above a system that does not honor him. So if you embrace the gospel, it should do certain things. It should save you. It should prepare you. It should empower you. And it should release you strategically to be relevant. Hallelujah. So that we now teach people
that not everybody is going to be in the fivefold ministry, and that the dimensions of the fivefold ministry does not end in the pulpit. Are you getting my point? So when you find out that there is a desire for you to go into finances and be a CEO, you do not see it as being less spiritual than an apostle or a prophet who is standing on stage. Are you getting my point now? We have been taught that these things are of lesser value. They are not. Because by and large, the preacher will find out that the gospel is free, but the means to carry it is not free. Hallelujah. There are many men of God that have powerful messages to give, but they are broke. They are on air and they can only pay for 10 minutes. While they are about sharing a powerful revelation, they just cut it. Program over. That's the limit of your money. And when we ignore the ministry of kingdom financiers, we can have all the encounters of the Spirit, but it will not be relevant. Are you getting my point now? There needs to be people in the area of governance who can stand and advocate. The confab just finished right now, and I was so happy because the advocates that were there to represent the kingdom are thorough men. Men of both intelligence and men of spirituality. So I was very comfortable because I knew that the constitution of this country will be altered for the glory of God. But assuming there were all these kinds of people who don't pay attention, you go to a confab now, you sit down, you are praying in tongues, and you don't know anything about the history of your nation, and they ask you a question, and as a stakeholder representing the body of Christ, and you disgrace us there and say something, you say, oh, the Lord told me. They don't know this. Daniel in the Bible was a man who showed us how you can combine spirituality and governance. And through the dispensation of three kings, he reigned and he could not be rejected. Are you understanding the gospel now? This is the gospel. And like Azuka was saying, now you see, with his spirituality and his understanding, he's going into the area of the media because he understands there is a mountain there. Praise the Lord. When they are teaching God and everything that is of God out of the media, and we are here shouting and praying in tongues, there's got to be men of power and fire that will get up there, supported by kingdom financiers and prayer warriors, but they will go. They will be able to translate the ideologies of the kingdom to transform society. If your knowledge of God cannot transform society, it is a waste. That's what John Wesley said. If your knowledge of God, your knowledge of God must sustain the ability. Listen. If I plant a church in a region, and after 5 years, the community does not see the relevance of the gospel, I'm wasting their time. Is that true? Believers, unbelievers, and everyone should attest to the fact that there are a people with a mindset. So with time, they see that there are miracles happening, supernatural acts of God. But then they see that with time, a school is built for that community. And after 5 years, children who would not have the opportunity to go to school, now go to school. And you build the school and introduce new curriculums. You know, I've told the workers, by the time God permits us to start building our schools, there are three courses we are going to add. You must write it from GS1 to SS3. Number one is called spiritual growth. Number two, financial education. Number three, I don't know what the name is. You must do it from beginning till you finish. We're not just going to teach social studies and biology and all of those kinds of things. Elementary science. Thank God for those things. We must educate the people, so that our children are relevant to society and still sustain the values of the kingdom. Listen, I'm teaching you how to transform society, not just how to build your ministry. How to make your ministry relevant. There are many of us, by the grace of God, the reason why our parents are glad that we are coming here is not just because of praying in tongues. They are seeing our ideologies change. Something is changing about your life. You are adopting value systems that are attractive. When we become agents of change, by introducing a mindset that can affect society, then they will listen to our gospel. Hallelujah. But for as long as the church keeps behaving like fools on stage, people just come and they see us bouncing and praying. And the moment we finish, everywhere is rowdy. Rowdy, there's all kinds of disorganization. No system for honor. No system to build people. There is no structure. You don't behave like that. Because many, many pastors and many ministers, we have not been told that we are also agents of change in the institution. You see that? We are not told that our relevance transcends just spirituality. We have not yet seen ourselves as agents of change to society. May God make every one of us here an agent of change. In the name of Jesus Christ. That with your understanding of the kingdom, you will build schools. You will build roads. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just that you will heal the sick and cast out devils, but that your understanding of the kingdom will be able to translate into something that society cannot refuse. Hallelujah. That's what was happening. We must build people. We must build people. Sunday Adelaja, one great man I admire so much. He led the Orange Revolution in Ukraine. Ukraine is a communist nation even till today. But that man, not very eloquent in speech, Sunday Adelaja was able to go to Ukraine and he understood the kingdom and he put the kingdom to the test and he brought the government to its knees. He showed how governance and the apostolic ministry, he raised a people. He was a great man, but he was broke. And he sat down and studied the principles of the kingdom. And in 6 months, he became a multi-millionaire in dollars. And in 2 years, he raised 200 multi-millionaires in his church from the scratch, from nothing. You think the government will not? Let me tell you. There is a level of relevance that you can command. That even if you are not the firstborn in your family, you don't need to steal any birthright. Wisdom and influence will give it to you. Whoever can bring anything on the table is the one who speaks. If you can't bring anything on the table, you cannot speak any kind of story. Whoever can bring anything on the table, that you are praying, and the moment you finish praying, that prayer translates into wisdom. Hallelujah. Wisdom is the ability to know God's perspective about everything in life.
Tell me, what can I do? I can live without you. I can live without. So tell me, what can I do? I can live without you.
Hallelujah. Say the word of God is changing me. Brothers and sisters, I have a guarantee. You will be so successful, it will shock you. No, I'm telling you, the word of God is making you become something you cannot even stop. Hallelujah. The word of God. I know people here by the grace of God were either of the other faith or came here with all kinds of mindsets, and I am amazed. I'm amazed to see what God is doing, and we give Him all the glory. And by the grace of God, days will come, we will celebrate greatness at another level. If you are interested, join us there. If you get there, you don't find me, you've not arrived there. A day will come, we will celebrate greatness at that level. Yes. Some of you will just go to your village and count the local government there and say, please, this land, build churches. This is the budget for the kingdom. This is the one to sustain the pastors for the next 5 years. Let me know when it gets to 3 years. And it's as if you just gave money for a charge card because you have gotten the knowledge of the kingdom. See, let me tell you something. Maybe let me digress. This is an admonition. Are you getting blessed tonight? Listen. Do you know, I was sharing with someone yesterday, if all the wealth of the world, you know, there are people who are angry today. They are saying, if they distributed money, it would have reached all of us in Nigeria. Let me tell you something. Distribute the money in Nigeria equally to everybody. If you are pregnant, you will get for you and your baby. I guarantee you in 24 hours, it will return back from where it came from. Because there is a mindset. The poor people will do the same foolish things they've been doing, although they are spiritual, and then it will leave them. But the gift of a man. By now you know that you have something. All your life you've been told you are nothing. They call you a lodo, and at a point you even answer it yourself. You believe it. But the word of God lets you know that the gift of a man. Say, I have something. Say it, I have something that the world cannot reject. I have something. I have an ability. I have an anointing. I have grace. I have wisdom. I have insight. I have intelligence. The world cannot reject it. And they will pay you for it. They will pay you in ways that will surprise you. You will see it happen. Brothers and sisters, my Bible tells me that if the cloud be full of rain, hold on, you are not seeing anything now, but it doesn't mean nothing is happening. Even the devil is a witness that you deserve to be blessed. Even the devil, he's watching your commitment. He knows he's a witness. Satan ran to God and said, Kai, this Job's issue. God said, have you considered my servant Job? Satan said, I tried. We will feed nations. Some of you will set up publishing firms that produce the Bible in any language. Any. See, this is kingdom advancement. Kingdom advancement is not just intercession. Kingdom advancement is getting up to confront the gates of hell. And there are tools that help us to confront those gates. Number one, the anointing. Number two, wisdom. Number three, excellence. Number four, prosperity. These are all the tools that will empower us to confront the gates. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is what God is making out of your life. This is what God is making out of your life. But the question I want to ask you before we continue is that, are you paying attention to what God is doing in your life? Because I don't want to assume all of us are paying attention. There are some of us, as you are hearing this thing, you're just rejoicing because you're part of the crowd, but you know that if it's to be one-on-one, you and God, you're not doing anything. You don't even believe what we are saying. It looks like we're just gyrating. The beautiful thing about success is that it is an individual affair. You can choose to believe it or not. If you don't believe it, we'll take care of you in the future. But if you believe it, together, we'll do great things for the kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That the Lord will be able to use me to do anything He wants to do. That when God wants to bless people financially, I can be available. That when God wants to heal the sick, I can be available. When God wants to transmit the knowledge of the kingdom, I can be available. This is my prayer. I don't just want to be relevant in terms of preaching. So if there is no sermon to preach, I cannot do anything for the kingdom again. No, sir. Jesus was relevant when He spoke with the scribes and all of those people. He spoke intelligently. When He spoke with tax collectors, He spoke intelligently. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There are four dimensions that we must all operate to see the fullness of God in our lives.
Lord, give your healing. Someone in this city, please don't do it without me.
Just bring out your notebooks.
Don't do it without me.
That's always my prayer to you.
Lord, if you're using great men in this nation, please don't do it without me.
Oh, I'm available.
Don't do it without me.
Before I teach on these four aspects, can you pray? Pray and say, Lord, whatever you are doing, I'm available. Don't do it without me. If you're looking for prayer warriors, I'm available. If you're looking for financial apostles, I'm available. You're looking for career people who will do great things for the kingdom, I'm available. Those of us outside, make sure you are praying. The Lord is hearing you. Lord, if you're looking for intellectuals, men who can combine wisdom and intelligence with spirituality, I'm available. I'm available. I'm available. I'm an agent of change. I'm an agent of national transformation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please look up. Revelation tells us that at the throne of God Almighty and the Lamb, Jesus Christ, there are four living creatures that are before the throne. And it tells us the first living creature has the face of a lion. Hallelujah. The second living creature has the face of a calf or an ox. The third living creature has the face of a man. And the fourth living creature has the face of a flying eagle. And now realize that everything in heaven is a reflection of who God is. Everything in heaven. Hallelujah. Everything. The construction of the tabernacle from the court of the temple right to the most holy place. Everything speaks about dimensions of God. So it is in heaven. All of the things in heaven attempt to describe the majesty and the glory of God. So the four living creatures are four major dimensions that every believer who wants to reflect the image of Christ in his fullness must be able to walk in. Number one is the face of the lion. The lion is an animal that is known for strength, attitude, courage, dominion. The face of the lion talks about the dimension of your Christian experience where you must walk in dominion and authority. God wants that in a bid to reflect His glory, you must be able to demonstrate the authority of the kingdom. You must be able to walk as a king. Revelation 5 verse 10, it says, we have been made unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign. Hallelujah. Bible says those of us who have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, it says we shall reign in this life. Hallelujah. Say, I am royalty. Everyone say, I am royalty. Yes, this is a dimension of God that He wants you to reflect. Because He is a king, the royal one, and He wants you to walk in that authority. The centurion said to Jesus, and he got Jesus interested. He said, for I am a man under authority. Aha, authority. And by reason of being under the authority of the government of Rome, I can tell one, go, and he will go. And I can tell the other, come, and he will come. And Jesus said, I have not found such a faith. In other words, I have not found such a mindset and a perspective of the kingdom. No, not in Israel. Although this guy is not part of the commonwealth of Israel, I'm seeing him manifest an understanding that belongs to the kingdom. Hallelujah. Everybody say authority. If you are not walking in authority, there is a dimension of the kingdom experience you are not revealing. You must walk in authority. Authority. There is a difference between authority and power. Power is the force that produces change. Power is the force that produces change. Authority is the legal right to legislate. The legal right to legislate. So good Lord can say tomorrow is public holiday. That's not power. That's authority. The police officers and the soldiers don't have authority, but they have power. So they can carry their guns and they can carry their koboko. They enforce compliance. Hallelujah. The beautiful thing is that we have authority. And there is an anointing put in us. It's called dunamis. Hallelujah. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that enforces compliance. That's why it is released as we speak. So Elijah, the book of James tells us, was a man of like passion. And he prayed earnestly that there be no rain for a space of 3.5 years. And while he prayed, there was an energy of the Spirit that compelled the territory to comply. Say, I have authority. Say it. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you authority. The Greek word is exousia. Exousia. I give you the capacity, is delegated power, the ability to stand in the stead of another. That means the ability to walk in the shoes of another. Move in my office. When Jesus gave us his name, he gave us his authority. The name of a man represents his office, his identity. That's why they asked the man, they said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Where is your office? Hallelujah. When Jesus sent the 12 and also when he sent the 70, the Bible says they all returned rejoicing. And he asked them a question. He said, when I sent you, not when you went on your own, when I sent you, lackest thou anything? When I sent you. Everybody say, I'm sent. Comes from the Greek word apostolos, Titus 1 verse 1. The highest envoys of the king. So the king brings them and trains them. Hallelujah. Prepares them, teaches them his ideologies, and he sends them to go and colonize a country on his behalf. Comes from the Greek word apostolos, the envoys of the king. That's where you get the word apostle. And that's where you get the word ambassador. Envoys that are sent. Everybody say, I'm sent. Say it, I am sent. The Bible says, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Do you believe it? So say, I'm sent with the backing of heaven. Say it, I am sent with the backing of heaven. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus teaching on the mount, what we call the Beatitudes, or the constitution, the unveiling of the constitution of the kingdom. He says, ye are the light, not of your church, not of your denomination. You are the light. You give illumination. Light of the world. He says, you are a city, not like a city. You are literally a city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hidden. And he says, neither do men light a candle, a lampstand, and put it under a bushel. It's of no use. If you are a lampstand, because you are, Revelation chapter 1, the Bible begins to tell us how that John saw, he turned and he saw 7 lampstands. And those lampstands represent the Catholic Church. The word Catholic is the word, the universal church. The church of the firstborn. The church that has no ministry name. Represented in the 7 lampstands. And he said, in the midst of the lampstands, I saw one. So God is always in the midst of his people. He said, in the midst of the lampstand, I saw one like the Son of Man. And he began to describe a lot of things. Hallelujah. So say, I have dominion. How does that dominion become a reality? Through the revelation of the word of God in you. I told you, dominion is not an impartation. Dominion is not something you claim. It's not something you jack yourself into some spooky feelings. Dominion is a byproduct of knowledge. Knowledge and understanding. Psalm 82 verse 5. They know not, neither do they understand. And so they walk in darkness and the earth is out of course. Verse 6. Have I not said, ye are God, and all of you are children of the Most High. He said, but ye shall die like mere men and fall like one of these princes. Hallelujah. Very important. You must realize that you have dominion. But that dominion is there potentially. As you begin to access the light of God's word, it puts you in a position where you can walk in that dominion experientially. Hallelujah. I have dominion over principalities, over powers, over thrones, over every name that is named. And my dominion is exercised on the strength of my understanding of the way the realm of the spirit works. And so I can tell this demon spirit, stay and go. And when he looks, he will see the foundation upon which that statement comes. And he knows that I'm not just making empty noise. Hallelujah. Because every time I speak to that spirit and I say go, there are many scriptures that support my conviction. The Bible talks about the angels who excel in light and excel in strength, who confirms the words of his messengers. And I am sent because I am a messenger. So when I speak, I expect the backing of heaven. So don't just speak. There must be revelations that sponsor your confidence. If I turn to Folake and I say, be healed, what is the revelation that backs up this that I've said? If there is nothing, she will not be healed. Hallelujah. So as I stand, I remember that the spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. I remember that I've been authorized. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, Acts 10:38, with the Holy Ghost and with power. And the Bible says he went about doing good and healing all they that were oppressed, not all they that were sick. So every sickness is an oppression. So when I tell her be healed, I know that it's an oppression. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when I speak and I say be free, there is an anointing that leaves me. And I understand from Isaiah 10:27 that anointing breaks yokes. It takes away burdens. When I prophesy and I say in the name of Jesus, let a new season be opened unto you, I understand that the Bible says to appoint unto them that mourn. To appoint. You know what it means to appoint? To set a date for their liberty. Dominion. You must learn to walk in dominion. To exercise your authority. And frankly speaking, the church has made progress there. We have done a lot helping believers to understand what we call their identity in Christ. Which is very important. That I am seated with Christ. I'm above sickness. I'm above poverty. I'm above failure. I'm above defeat. I'm not a non-entity. Dominion. All the aspects of our kingly dimension. But the trouble is that sometimes when if all you see in your Christian experience is just that face of a lion, you will get into pride and arrogance and you will never serve the king. It will make you self-centered because you will think it's about you. You know that when kings reign, it's all about them. Is that true? Every kingdom operates on a monarchy system. And monarchy is about the king, not the king and many people. A monarchy is not a democracy. Nobody votes the king. So when you have the understanding of your kingly dimension, there is a disclaimer there. Because you may be tempted to think that all Jesus did was all about you and you alone. So God introduces you to the next dimension, the face of a calf, which speaks of sacrifice and servanthood. So he helps you know that you are a king, you have dominion, but it does not stop there. And if you stop there, you will not reflect the image of the Christ in its entirety. So we have a lot of people, hallelujah, I have dominion, and they have the jeeps, they have everything, they have all of these things, but they are not relevant as far as the kingdom is concerned. They are not doing anything for God. It's all about me. I received an alert yesterday. I did this and that. Me, myself. I am reigning. Hallelujah. I'm going from glory to glory. And God says, when will it stop being about you and turn to become that of the kingdom? So he introduces you to the face of a calf or an ox. In Bible days, an ox or a calf was the animal that was used to plow the land. That's why the Bible says, do not muzzle the ox that treads upon the corn. So they used oxes and wild animals, all of those things, to be able to thresh the land. It says, the field is wide, but the laborers are few. He said, pray for the Lord of the harvest. Pray that he will send laborers. When it comes to working for God, you are not a son, you are a servant. You see that? You must understand that dimension. When it comes to service in the kingdom, you no longer talk about sonship as it were. No, you talk about servanthood. So Paul can say, Paul, a bond servant. Paul, a bond servant. Because he spent his entire life and went all across Asia Minor and went trying to advocate the ideologies and the counsel and the principles of the kingdom. Everybody say, I'm a king. I'm royalty. But I'm also a servant. You must be able to know this. When you realize that you are a servant, when you are doing your intercessory ministry, you can do it sincerely. So you can fast and pray for 2 or 3 days and not mention anything about yourself because you realize that you are a servant. Are you getting my point now? You are a servant. A servant is a property. That is a dimension you must know about God. Thank God for being one with Christ. But if that's all you know about his image, you are not reflecting him properly. You must get to a point where you know that the same Bible that says we are seated with Christ said we have been bought with a price. Know ye not that your body has become the temple of another? So that revelation of a calf brings you to a point where you can lay down your life. You can do anything for the kingdom as far as service is concerned. So your money can go for the kingdom. So you can inconvenience yourself for the kingdom. As a man of God, you go for a meeting and there's no AC there, and it's a bike that will drive you, that will ride you to the place, and you don't sit there and say, with my status, I'm a king. Come on now. You are a king, but you are a servant. Is that true? And that although you love the Lord, you are not afraid of service. Everybody say, I'm a servant. Say it, I'm a servant. I live to serve the King. Say it, I live to serve his purposes. I live to serve the King. I live to serve his purposes. It's not enough to know that you have dominion. It's not enough to know that you are a king. You must know that you live to serve the purposes of the kingdom. Hallelujah.
Take your place. Take your place. Take your place. Take your place. Take my body, my soul, my spirit. Breathe on me. Take my body, my soul, my spirit. On me, take my body, my soul, my spirit, breathe on me.
So whatever inconvenience it may bring to you, you are willing to go through it. Paul said, so then death works in us, that life will work in you. Although you are a king, although you are royalty, if it takes cleaning the house of God, you can do it as a millionaire CEO, and you know that I am a servant, a born servant. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Celebrate Jamfa. Good to see him. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I'm a servant. Say it, I'm a servant. It's not enough to know that you are king, you have dominion. You must realize that the purposes of the kingdom will only be executed when you become a servant. And can I tell you something? When you take up the posture of a servant, your gift for being a servant is access to light and revelation. Revelations 1 verse 1. The Bible says the revelation of Jesus, which he showed unto John, his servant. You must be a servant to access that revelation. In Joshua chapter 1, God speaking to Joshua said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Although Moses commanded authority, he demonstrated dominion. But he died a servant. This is a dimension of the image of God that you must reflect. It's not enough to have dominion. It's not enough to know you are one with Christ. You must realize that you are a servant. Everybody say, I'm a servant. Preacher, you are a servant. As a worker in the house of God, you know that you don't just come and carry your status and say, I'm a great man. No, you serve. You serve. Hallelujah. And then, the truth is sometimes, as an ox, when you serve, you get to a point where people can break you down. Is that true? The Bible says, don't muzzle the ox. The ox can be hungry. There are sometimes, have you seen how certain donkeys get tired and even fall because they stretch them? And so he introduces you to the third dimension, the face of a man. Your humanity is also a reflection of the image of the Christ. That in as much as you realize that you have authority, you are invincible. And in as much as you have adopted the purposes of the kingdom and you have pledged your life, don't forget that that is not all there is to reflecting the fullness of the image of the Christ. And the third phase was the face of the man. Notice the progression. The face of the man. Why the face of the man? Because there are times you must permit your humanity to play when you are trying to reflect Christ. It is not spirituality to hide your humanity. So you see Jesus revealing his humanity. He was hungry. Jesus was hungry. You will not be fasting every day of your life. You are a human being. Jesus was hungry. Jesus wept. Jesus was heartbroken. So when you find yourself crying, someone died and you're crying and someone says, come on, man up, square up. No, no. Allow your tears. It's not a symbol of weakness. There is a dimension of God that permits that operation. Hallelujah. So Jesus hears that Lazarus, his brother, is dead. And Jesus goes to the tomb. And the Bible says, and Jesus wept. John 11, the 35th chapter. And Jesus wept. He said, we do not have a high priest who has not been touched with the feelings of our infirmity. The word infirmity there is the word limitation, not sickness. Limitation. Hallelujah. All through scripture, you see God using imperfect man. As a system, not as a human being. Man, if you describe man as a system, man is flawed. That's why in the making of the bread, he said, add a little leaven. Because leaven stands for imperfection. He said, add it. Although it will be used in my temple, add it. The beautiful thing about God is that he does not wait for you to be perfect before he uses you. He can be building you on the go. Hallelujah. See, all the people that God used in scripture, they were not perfect people. From murderers like Moses, to womanizers and killers like David, to temperous people like Moses, idol worshippers like Abraham, angry people like Elijah, emotional people like Ezekiel. Hallelujah. Erratic people like Peter, unstable people like Thomas. Hallelujah. Yet, in the midst of their imperfections, his purposes still came to pass. This is what makes him mighty. The ability to birth his purposes in spite of your limitation. Everybody say, I'm human.
say I'm human. The man that pioneered the Welsh revival, the man that pioneered the Welsh revival, died not because it was his time. He died because he understood that he had dominion, and he knew that he was a servant serving the king, but he forgot that he was a human being. It was said he literally walked himself to death because he believed that if he did not frontier the revival, it would be corrupted. So based on his fear of the revival being corrupted, and then the corruption now attributed to him, he took his humanity, he forgot about his humanity, and he died. Do you know there are many geos and great men that died before their time because they want to win the whole world? They have over 30 or 40 ministrations in a week, flying all around, and they are tired. I used to be like that until the day God gave me this revelation. I literally killed myself because I believed that I didn't want to fail God. There are times that I would pray for hours, I would spend time, and then when I'm about to go and rest, somebody will now send me a text. That's where the person has finished sleeping, wiped sleep from his eyes, and they will say very, very attractive things like, God sent you to us. And you know, I'll feel that burden of ministry. Now, when I finish praying, if your text come, if the one who created the heavens and the earth does not save you, I will not kill myself. Uzzah went to help the ark and he died, but the ark never fell. Hallelujah. So be careful, because some of us are literally killing ourselves. You are priding in the fact that you are getting lean. You have convinced yourself that it's a sign that you are spiritual. That when men see you and your voice is husky, your face is oily, your appearance, there's nothing to be desired about it. You equate it to spirituality. Not so. There is a dimension of your humanity. And God rested. God rested. And the proof of rest is that you cease from your work. You must rest. If you plan to use your body for a long time, you must create a system. I used to say yes to every ministration. Jack of all trades, going to win the whole world. And one day the Lord gave me a revelation. He told me to look at the cross. And he said, your face is not the one on the crucifix. You didn't die. No, I mean it. Very seriously. And it dawned on me that I'm only a member of the body, not the body. So the best that I can be is an effective member of the body. There are many men whose families have gone down the drain because they are doing ministry. The children never get to see their father. The husband never gets to spend time with the wife. John Lake, how many of you have heard of John G. Lake? When John G. Lake's wife was about to die, John G. Lake's daughter said, if John Lake was around, the mother would not die, because he was there trying to save the world. His wife was dying. The daughters wanted their father, but he was there becoming a lion and becoming an ox, and he forgot that he was a human being, and he came back to meet the obituary of his wife. Everybody say, I'm human. Say it, I'm human. It's okay to cry. Yes. It's okay to make mistakes. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's all right to make mistakes. Samson allowed his humanity to go to the extreme when he followed a woman called Delilah. So I'm talking about the extremities of humanity, because some of you, this part of it has consoled you so much. You are saying, are you kidding? So I'm human. So you can just do everything and say, I'm human, I beg. I'm human. Left to the lady, I'm human. I took the pier, I'm human. Samson allowed his humanity to go so far, and two things happened to him. And it will happen to anybody who allows his humanity to prevail over his spirituality. Your source of illumination will be taken, and your glory will be taken from your life. Two things. the hair of a man, the Bible talks of a woman's hair being the glory. That means man, as the bride of Christ, has his hair representing his glory. And the Bible says two things. She was not interested. You would think that Delilah would cut off the hands of Samson. Is that not what he uses to beat people? He said, immediately remove his eyes. Because if thy eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. So when you allow excessive humanity, there will be no illumination. So you don't fast again, you don't pray, you don't constrain yourself because you feel I'm human. The source of illumination will grow dim. That's what happened to Eli. Eli began to be so conscious of his old age, he allowed his humanity to interrupt his priesthood. And the Bible says his eye began to become dim. And it takes us to the fourth phase, the phase of the flying eagle. So although you are human, lest you allow your humanity to cross beyond its boundary, it reminds you that you are from above, the flying eagle. That there is a technology in the spirit that is able to remedy for the predicaments of your humanity. And then the Bible now begins to say, I know that even the young men can grow weary. The youth can faint. I know there is a provision for your humanity. It's not backsliding. I know there is a time you cannot pray. It's natural. I know there is a time you may not want to study the word. There is a time challenges will overwhelm you. But it says there is a technology in the spirit that has been made available to supplement for that predicament. It says, they that wait upon the Lord, it said they shall renew their strength. And they will mount up with wings, not like birds, like the eagle. That was the eagle there. They will mount up with wings like the eagles. So when men see your humanity and they see that you are perplexed on all sides, everything is happening and it looks like you will never come out, all of a sudden you sustain the technology in the spirit.
We will run and not grow weary. We'll walk and we'll not faint. For the Lord will go before us, and His joy will be our strength. Mounting up with wings as eagles, as the Spirit says His soul, we will come into His presence. We'll wait upon the Lord.
You know the song?
We will wait upon the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah.
For in His presence is fullness of joy.
That's the technology in the spirit. So the guy disappoints you and he said, I won't marry you again. Oh, I've just been looking for a way to tell you. And although you are a great woman of God, you will see your humanity find an expression. You will cry. And then when you come for koinonia like this, you hear songs like this one. And it's a technology in the spirit that begins to mount you up with wings as an eagle. And like Job, you say, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. All the days of my appointed time, I will wait until my change comes. The Bible says, and John remained in the wilderness until his season of appearance. Oh, powerful. Can we sing that song? We will wait.
We will wait upon the Lord. For in His presence, His fullness of joy, and our strength shall be restored as we wait upon the Lord.
Just the voices alone sing.
We will wait upon the Lord, for in His presence is fullness of joy, and our strength shall be restored as we wait upon the Lord.
So your rent is overdue. it's okay for your humanity to find expression. Time has gone and marriage doesn't look like it's coming. You are now 36, 37. It's okay to be human. Hallelujah. You've been wearing one trouser for the past 5 months. It's okay to worry about it. Don't say, I don't care. Care. It's okay. Hallelujah. Every guy you smile at is frowning at you. You are a human being. It's okay for your humanity to find expression. You started a church and after 3 years, you are just 7. It will disturb you. No matter how a man of faith you are, it's okay. You trusted God that at this level of your life, you will be soaring financially, but it looks like it's not so. It's okay, you are human. But remember that you are also a flying eagle. And it's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And so they held Samson bound in his hands. And that was a symbol of the apostolic and the prophetic ministry. And not much could be done because the Philistines held these two ministries that represent the foundation of the church. But the Bible says, all of a sudden the hand of the Lord came upon him and he was no longer a human being. And the Bible says, the rope was like flax.
Come live in me, oh my life, take over. Come live in me, and I will rise on you.
Sing it one more time.
Come live in me, all my life, take over. Come breathe in me, and I will rise.
That's how you rise. When you allow the anointing of the Spirit to open you up to the dimension where you are a flying eagle.
From glory to glory, and now forever be changed after you. I'll be changed after you. Now forever be chasing after you. I'll be chasing after you.
So tonight is an admonition. He said, I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things, although ye already know them, and I established in this presence. There's no man that warreth entangles himself with civilian affairs. The Bible says, meditate on these things. Give yourself fully to them, that your profiting will appear unto all. We're going to pray. Listen. Listen. There are many teachings that have come that can minister to every area of your life that you desire growth. And these messages are all free, from finances to your relationship with the Holy Spirit, to understanding the kingdom, to marriage, to success, to greatness, to faith. You can access the resources and stay there, stay in the present until something breaks open. Rise up on your feet and we're going to pray.
All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you. Oh.
Come on, give him praise.
The truth you are hearing will make you mighty.
All the glory belongs.
All glory belongs to you.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh, come on, celebrate His majesty.
All the glory belongs.
All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, O God.
Hallelujah. Three prayer points and we're done for the night. Please help that lady. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Prayer point number one. We're going to pray and say, Father, cause your word to prevail. Listen. Until your convictions about the reality of the word transcends that which you see, you cannot produce faith. I've told you, this nonsense that is taught about faith is not the way faith works. Faith does not just work by jacking yourself into nonsense. Faith is a derivative of the depth of your conviction about the reality of God and His word, and is entirely a product of revelation. Lift your voice and say, Lord, strengthen my conviction about spiritual things. Lift your voice and pray. Strengthen my conviction about the reality of your word, the reality of your power, the reality of the anointing, the reality of your principle, the immutability of your counsel. Let my convictions be strengthened. They that know their God, they that have experienced Him, shall be strong, empowered with might, and He said they will do exploits. Katana paretekete, men that protokopotos, they that know their God. Oh yes, pray. When your conviction becomes strong, you will do exploits in ministry. You will do exploits on your job. You will do exploits in business. You will do exploits in leadership. You will take the mountain and confront the gate and stamp upon the gates of the enemy. Strengthen my conviction. Where my convictions are shaking, strengthen my convictions. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Listen. The dimension of the glory and the power of God that is released in your life is dependent on the strength of your conviction about spiritual reality. Hallelujah. When you realize, it's not enough to know that the Spirit of the Christ lives in you. Do you know the implication of what that means? It's not enough to know that you are a success. Do you know the implication? Strengthen my convictions. Strengthen my convictions. You are going to pray. Mention the areas of your life where you are not yet convicted, where the word of God has not gained ground, and say, Lord, help me. Lift up your voice and pray. For some of us, it's in the area of finance. Some of us, it's in the area of marriage. Some of us, it's in the area of our strength. Some of us, it's in the area of your job. Lift up your voice and pray. Strengthen my conviction. Deepen my roots. Let me understand the system of the kingdom. Are you praying inside and outside? Pray. Strengthen my conviction. The Bible says, be unshakable, be immovable, be steadfast, be unsearchable, the immovable. Hallelujah. 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 Prayer point number two. The Bible says that we have been made objects of praise. Objects of praise. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, called forth to show forth. It's a Greek word, doxazo. It's a displaying of the excellency of the kingdom, of him, the perfection of him that has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You're going to pray and say, Lord, put a seal upon my life that will make me a testimony. Put a seal. Stamp my life with your anointing. Stamp my life with your wisdom. Come on, pray. Put a seal upon my life that will cause the nations to know that Jehovah reigns in my life. Make me an object of praise. Put a seal. Come on, pray, Koinonia. Lekete koto proto kota. Reketeke sekete. Put a seal upon my life. Let your hand come upon me. Let your hand come upon me. Let your wisdom come upon me. Let your excellence come upon me. Let your glory come upon me. Stamp it upon my life. I am an object of praise. Soto poreke. Oh yes, yes, let my life be supernatural, everything supernatural, stamp it upon my life. Hallelujah. 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 Listen. Listen to me. The Bible says, and when Jesus came out of the water, it says the Holy Ghost descended upon him like a dove. There was a stamp and a voice spoke. It didn't speak to men. It spoke to territory. He said, this is my beloved, and I instruct you to hear him. In other words, let gates be opened. Let barriers be broken. This has been approved. He said, Paul, an apostle, approved by signs and wonders and miracles. You're going to pray and say, Lord, approve my life. Approve my life. Let there be a demonstration of the reality of spiritual things. Pray. Seketeka. Sombeta likata. Let there be a divine stamp upon my life, upon my ministry, upon my business, upon my job, upon my family, that testifies, that Jehovah reigns, that testifies that the kingdom is superior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're out of time. The last prayer point. We're going to pray for our families in preparation. Listen, next week miracle service is going to be an explosion. Telling you what the Lord put in my spirit to share is mighty. God will do awesome things in this place. We are going to pray and say, Father, write upon my family, let there be a testament that the glory of God is upon my family. You are not praying for yourself. Come on, believers, pray. As for me and my house, as for me and my house, if it does not affect your family, then it is not complete. Sokoto prokete rekete kete kokotoba koteleke pratikata. Pray to God. Pray to God. Let there be a testament of your glory, a testament of your beauty, a testament of your power, a testament of your wisdom, a testament of your grace. Pray for your family. Intercede in 2 minutes. Intercede. I cover for them. I come as an envoy. An envoy of the kingdom. An envoy of the presence. A sent one. An ambassador. Let there be light in every area of darkness. I appoint unto them that mourn in my family. I set for them beauty for ashes, joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Pray, prophesy, pray, declare, pray. Job 22 verse 28, and thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established. Oh, let your glory come. Let your glory come upon my family. Let your glory come. Let there be an evidence. Let there be an evidence of the living Christ. Let there be an evidence of the glory of God. Look at me. I'm going to make an altar call. There is a gentleman that sent me a text that he wants to get born again. Now is the time. When I finish talking, you can run and come out. But I want to make an altar call. There are many of us standing here. We are the hope of our families. We are the hope of our territories. If we miss it, the purposes of God may be thwarted for our families. And God needs us to be envoys. There are two categories of people who run out here. Number one, those who have never given their hearts to the Lord. I don't care if you have been in church all your life. You have never made that commitment to say, Lord, I want to start a journey with you. That you write my name in the book of life and that I receive eternal life. That's the first category. The second category of people are those who are backsliding. And those who have found themselves derailing from the things of God. You were once on fire and you loved God. But now you are even surprised seeing the way your life is. There is hope for you. There is hope for you. Hallelujah. And so as I count 1 to 5, we are out of time. I like those two categories of people to come out quickly and stand before the Lord. And it will be my privilege to lead you and reconnect you back. I know that there are a number of us outside. I know that there are people standing. It's not compulsory. You can choose to stay. But there are people. The Holy Ghost is speaking to you right now. And he's saying it's time. Come out quickly. One. Celebrate them. I know that there are many people. Don't wait for anybody. You are the first person. Two. Please, if you are coming, hurry up. Hurry up. Three. God bless you. Don't let any devil stop you. Four. I salute every one of us, listen, for taking the courage to come to Jesus Christ. The Bible says, as many as will come to him, he will in no wise cast away. Hallelujah. This is like a factory. This is a making process. And I want you to mean it. Don't just come out here and be emotional. Mean it from the depths of your heart. This is between you and Jesus Christ. This is birthing a relationship that will make you a sign and a wonder. Lift up your right hand. And from the depth of your heart, I want you to say this after me. And those of us in the congregation, while they are praying, I'd like you to join them in prayer. Pray in tongues for them. Lift your hands. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died for me. You shed your blood for my sins. I have heard your word today. I make Jesus Lord of my life. I accept him as Savior. And I declare that I receive eternal life into my spirit. From today, I'm a child of God. My name is in the book of life. I receive grace to live in victory. I denounce sin. I denounce the works of darkness, and I receive grace to rise beyond these things. From today, I'm a child of God. The life of God is in me. Keep your hands lifted and let me pray for you. Father, thank you. You have brought these ones by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask in the name of your Son Jesus Christ that you will find expression in the lives of these people. Make them mighty men and women of the Spirit. Plant in them hunger for spiritual things. Make it impossible for them to go back to their old lives. I set you free from all kinds of addictions. I set you free from all kinds of demonic things that stand your way to living a victorious life. And I declare that there is grace upon you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Congratulations. God bless you for making this great decision. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to follow the lady waving her hands, that usher waving her hands. The ushers will meet with you. They'll have your details and will get across to you. God bless you. Please follow them. God bless you. Celebrate them, Koinonia. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now let me welcome all the first timers, and then we invite Prophet Jangfa to come and just say hi to the house and pray and round up the meeting. Hallelujah. Many of you do not know him. Praise the Lord. If you are worshiping with us for the first time, if this is your first time, I'd like you to jump up on your feet and come out gloriously. We have a blessing and a prophecy for you. Come on, celebrate them, Koinonia. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Please make your way to the front. Make your way to the front. Wherever you are, inside and outside. We love you too much to leave you like that. We have a blessing for you. God bless you. Koinonia, celebrate them. Celebrate them. Celebrate them. God bless you. Celebrate them. Hallelujah. Let's invite Prophet Jangfa. God bless you. Celebrate him, everybody. Come on now. Is this how you honor great men?
Hallelujah. It's good to be here again. Praise God. Amen. It's good to see the awesome things that the Spirit of the Lord is doing in this place. And I tell you, I'm excited to be here tonight. Amen. God bless you. My wife and family sends their love to you. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. For the first timers, please lift up your hands. Let me pray for you. And every one of you, just lift up your hands. Father, we thank you for these precious people in the name of Jesus. We declare the blessings of the Lord over you tonight. We declare that as you go, let the blessings of the Lord follow you. Let the Spirit of the Almighty God go with you. Let the glory of the Lord mantle you tonight. We declare that as you go, the earth is subdued before you. As you go, the earth yields an increase for you. We declare that the dew of the heavens follow you. We declare that kings shall be your nursing fathers. Queens shall be your nursing mothers. They shall kiss the dust of your feet. We declare that you wash your feet with butter. Let the rock pour you rivers of oil. Let the hand of the Almighty God go with you. Let the head yield an increase to you. We declare you blessed today. Let the anointing rest upon you. Let the glory of the Lord go with you. In the name of Jesus, you shall go for the joy. Be led for the peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth with singing before you. The trees of the forest shall clap their hands. You are blessed in the name of Jesus. I activate the glory of God upon you. I declare the presence of God go with you. The increase of the heavens is upon you. The blessings of the sun is upon you. The blessings of the sea is upon you. You are blessed in the name of Jesus. You are prosperous in the name of Jesus. You are blessed. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and grant you peace. And grant you peace. I declare nothing is missing in your life. Nothing is broken in your life. The hand of the Lord is upon you. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The arrows of the wicked shall not come near you. Only with your eyes you will see the reward of the wicked. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. The Lord caused the mountains to sleep before you. Let every Jordan pass before you. Let the mountains pour you oil. I declare you blessed. Bless. Bless. Go and prosper. Go and multiply. Go and replenish the earth. Go and have dominion. Experience miracles. Experience miracles. Experience supernatural turnaround in your lives, in your academics, in your families. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be empowered to succeed, to prosper, to increase. The anointing is upon you. The glory of God is upon you. The miracle power is upon you. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. You are blessed. As you go, the presence of the Lord go with you. The Lord take away every difficulty from your life. The Lord subdues obstacle before you. In the name of Jesus. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Surely, His goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life.
We believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, you can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/KoinoniaParenting Network International. Or follow us on Twitter, www.twitter.com/KoinoniaKLI. You can also download our messages on www.foreshared.com.
The
Transparency Network International, replicating the fullness of God's life on earth.